conflict management skills. It also includes problem solving skills, maintaining a positive attitude, and handling a team. Skills such as patience and empathy are very important to manage conflicts. Active listening is with the intention to understand. So before we take the first one, which is active listening, we're saying skills such as patience and empathy are important to manage conflicts. The moment you're a patient person, you are giving an impression that though you are ready and present out there to resolve this conflict, you are also having the patience to understand what both the sides are saying. You're having the patience and the ability to be able to relate to each one's needs, expectations, and desires. See, every party that is involved in a conflict will have that specific need, that this is what they're expecting. So you are giving a patient ear by listening to them. When you are giving a patient ear by listening to them, they will also feel that there is someone who is listening, because otherwise the two parties that are in conflict, none of them are really wanting to listen to the other. But at least if there is someone who's resolving the conflict, who has the ability to resolve the conflict, definitely that person will give full attention to have a proper solution. So the focus is not only on verbal communication but on non-verbal cues too. It is important to show empathy while listening. Emotional intelligence describes the ability to understand other people's emotions as well as that of yours. When I talk of emotional intelligence, you're having that ability to understand your emotion and your mindset. So when you bring a balance with understanding your rational thought process and your emotions, then it gets easier to also understand others. See, if I manage my own mind, or if I can manage my own mind, I can manage the whole world. But if I can't manage my own mind, then it'll be difficult to manage anybody. This is something that is very, very important. So I need to manage my own mind. That is important. Problem solving skills. At times, any leader may have to face challenges within the team. Since leaders may also be responsible for the actions and behavior of the team members. When we say since leaders may also be responsible for the actions and behavior of the team members. So if a leader is able to conduct himself well, if a leader is able to have a positive tone, if a leader is able to conduct himself or herself in a manner whereby the leader is more convincing and influencing, then the steps to then it is easier to resolve any conflict. So first you have to identify with the problem. What is the reason for that conflict? There was a problem, right? What is the reason for that conflict? There was a problem. So first, what was the problem? You identify with that problem, right? And the next step is, once you identify with the problem, you can also identify a possible solution. So let us take an example. So before I take the second step where we talk of identifying the solutions, for the first step, we need to go to the source, S-O-U-R-C-E. It's the source of the problem. We need to understand how has this problem come up. The source of the problem, where has it come up? We need to go to the source of the problem. How has this problem come up? We go to the root of the problem. Next is to identify the possible solutions. So for example, if there is a manager who's looking into conflict resolution, and he will talk to managers of the respective teams, as to where have they disagreed, where did the managers of the respective teams have to compromise, which is why they disagreed. So say if a conflict resolution manager is talking to the team leader of the marketing team and talking to the team leader of the other team. So what happens is that where ideally did both the team leaders have to compromise? And because they compromise, they felt that they had disagreed on certain points, and this led to a conflict. So you have to then come up with possible solutions. You analyze the solutions. Once you finish analyzing the solutions, then you take the best alternative. See, any problem will have not only a solution, but probably solutions. That means more than one solution. What do you do? You make the best choice at that juncture, the best choice at that juncture for that particular solution, and whether that particular solution at that point of time will serve the purpose. See, when we come up with solutions, the solution has to serve the purpose at that juncture. The solution has to prove its effectiveness at that juncture. Then only it is worthy of being implemented. So the last step is implementing the solution. Once I implement the solution, then it means that the conflict has been managed and it has been resolved. Mediation and negotiation. It is important to reach an agreement between two or more parties, since it can help to resolve disputes. So you have to come up with a midway solution. Why am I saying midway solution? Because someone who's an effective negotiator will put in effort to understand again what both the parties think and feel, and then come up with a solution which will be feasible to both. So it will be like a win-win situation. Now, neither of the party should feel that they have compromised. So the leader here, or the mediator, or the negotiator has to have that skill to see to it that both the parties have that or feel that sense of contentment at the end of it. So negotiation refers to strategic discussion that helps to resolve issues with solutions that are acceptable to both parties. That is why I just said that both the parties need to feel that sense of contentment, right? So you need a negotiator or mediator who also has this kind of skill. Therefore, it is vital to have effective negotiation skills to come up with solutions. When we say it is vital to have effective negotiation skills, you have to be able to be a good negotiator. Diplomacy is a skill of managing disputes required by mediators who could be leaders. When I say diplomacy is a skill of managing disputes required by mediators, you have to have that ability to see to it that both sides are having that faith in you, because you're bringing a balance with your views. So somewhere, even if you have to be a bit diplomatic and you know that the diplomacy will help you, you know, curb the problem, help you understand the people in the team better, and they will be able to relate better with you, then it is absolutely fine to do so. It can help develop a better rapport and better communication skills. Here we are talking of diplomacy through peaceful negotiation skills and dialogue. Dialogue has to be a crucial part to, you know, conflict management, because the mediator has to see to it that eventually both the parties are also content and are able to communicate and have dialogue with one another. Of course, the person who's handling the conflict and resolving the conflict will definitely create that kind of rapport and see to it that the environment is such that there is peace and ease, right? Conflict de-escalation. So diplomacy plays a role in conflict prevention and conflict de-escalation and helps in coming up with a resolution. When I say diplomacy plays a role in conflict prevention and conflict de-escalation, so somewhere there will be that situation where you come up with a resolution. Thus, it is necessary to prevent the situation that can get out of control. It is vital to have effective negotiation skills to come up with solutions so that the situation will not get out of control. And learning about various conflict management skills will help reduce employee turnover and foster a conducive work environment. So, what is important when I talk of conflict de-escalation? We have to see to it that we do everything possible so that the conflict does not get out of control. We have to see to it that we possess the skills of an effective negotiator. For example, giving that appropriate attention to both the parties, giving both the parties that kind of reassurance that this conflict will not get out of control. We are here to help you. We are here to bring a solution. So giving reassurance, giving them that kind of, attention, undivided attention, letting both the parties understand that we are available for them, letting both the parties feel that there is trust and faith, which they have to, be able to express, in the sense that trust and faith from both the sides can be expressed to the person who's looking into the conflict and handling it, managing it. So only when both sides completely open up in terms of what they think and feel, see, you have to be very honest. Only then can that honesty lead to a positive outcome, right? So it is really up to you how you conduct yourself in front of the parties that are having a conflict. Now we talk of conflict management styles. The first conflict management style is the accommodating style. An accommodating mode of conflict management leans more towards cooperation and less towards assertiveness. Accommodators set aside their own interests because they want to please others to maintain peace. So when I say accommodating style, the person is highly accommodating. That means if your manager tells you that by tomorrow this task has to be completed, even though you have lack of time, you don't have enough manpower with you to complete it, you say a yes. But you put yourself through that stress because you are someone who's very accommodating. So you cooperate 100%. You're not able to assert yourself and express that this is something you cannot do. You put in your full effort to cooperate. Now, somewhere this can be a problem for you. Somewhere this can be an issue for you to handle. So it is important that you decide when you want to be accommodating and when you should not be accommodating. It is really up to you. Now, in this case, even if you want to be accommodating, you can request, sir, please can I have more manpower to help me to complete this? Because officially the deadline is after 4 days. But since you want it tomorrow, I just am requesting that I get more manpower to help me complete this. So nothing wrong. And even if you don't want to say since you want it by tomorrow, you can say that since I'm expected to complete it by tomorrow. Right? See, it's all about how you word it. That's it. You have to be very effective with the way you word it. Accommodation skills are higher because you care for the individual. So the focus is not on the situation. The second style, the second conflict management style, is avoiding style. This style aims to reduce conflict by ignoring or removing the parties who are in conflict. As the word suggests, avoiding. You completely avoid the situation, you completely avoid the people. So what happens is that if you avoid the situation or the people, then what happens? You are not going to face any issues. But that is like brushing it under the carpet, which is not considered appropriate. So avoiding style. So team members in this type of conflict can be removed from the project because they've brushed it under the carpet. They did not take responsibility for it. And thus, you just have left it. Why have you left this kind of, why did you not bother to look into this kind of a situation? Because you felt that the problem will get resolved by itself, which doesn't happen. This will give the team members time to introspect. When you are not giving this attention, a particular situation attention when it's required, and you avoid it, then definitely you may no longer be expected to be a part of that team, right? So avoiding or avoidance cannot be a solution to a conflict, not at all. This style can be considered effective since it can help members to understand the conflict better and resolve it. Now, how can this style be considered effective? You can avoid it maybe for a short span of time, but over a period of time you need to understand what is the conflict all about and resolve it. Over a period of time you need to be able to figure out what can be done. So what is crucial out here? You may avoid thinking about a challenging project, but eventually that is a project you have to deal with. So if you say, I'm not going to look into this project, it's challenging, then definitely you will lose out on all chances of progressing. You may lose out on chances of a performance appraisal. You may lose out on chances of moving ahead in your career. So you've got to see to it that you cannot avoid it after a certain point of time. You've got to handle it. And certain situations, you may not even have that time to avoid it, in the sense that they have to, that situation, sorry, in the sense that situation has to be looked into immediately. So this kind of avoidance will not really be acceptable. The third conflict management style is the compromising style. This style seeks to find a midway approach by asking both parties to come up with a solution that can be agreed upon. Now, when I say this style seeks to find a midway approach by asking both parties to come up with a solution that can be agreed upon, that means you are somewhere willing to compromise. Somewhere when you're willing to compromise, for example, if a particular task is given to two people, but the task is not divided evenly. You're expected to do 70% of the task and your colleague is expected to do 30% of the task. So somewhere you've compromised. You've accepted that, look, I'm expected to do this because he's also looking into other projects. So somewhere you are willing to compromise. You take it in a positive manner and you personally feel that it is absolutely okay to compromise on this. This style is used when there may be lack of time or when a solution simply needs to be implemented. Compromise can set stage for collaboration, but it can also lead to resentment. In this case, the person who had to complete 70% of the task did not resent it, but there are people who would feel that or have that sense of resentment. They would kind of get frustrated, irritated that why are they expected to do much more? But well, at certain points of time, it is fine to compromise. It depends on your thought process. And at certain points of time, when you feel that, you may discuss that you do not want to compromise, but also it should not be chaotic and the situation should not get out of control. Compromise may be a concern since it may make one party feel unhappy. Definitely, then it can be a cause of concern. Yes, collaborating style. This style produces the best results in the long run. every party's needs are looked into and a win-win solution is reached upon. This style of conflict management style is time consuming. When I talk of collaboration or collaborating, so we are doing everything to get everyone together and to collaborate. Now when we talk of the collaborating style, definitely it is to bring people together and work towards a situation to resolve it, work towards a solution, work towards a particular situation, right? But it requires togetherness, it requires participation from one and all, and it requires people to move together as a team, right? Competing style. In this style, one party stands firm because they feel they are handling the situation correctly. So for competing style, there are certain traits which the individual follows if he or she comes in this category. So what is important for a person? The person may be absolutely fine to lose the relationship, but the person is not going to anywhere compromise on what is expected out of them. When we say lose that concern, when we discuss this point, it means that they are absolutely focused on winning the disagreement. They're not concerned about the opposite person. Their only focus is winning the disagreement. So these kind of people, they are high on assertiveness and low on cooperation. So though at times disputes may get resolved quickly with this kind of style, the morale and productivity may decrease. Definitely the morale and productivity will decrease because the cooperation is not really there from their side. This style rejects compromise and involves not giving into the views of others. They're very rigid with their own thought processes. For example, they anyhow want to get that new client. They will not let you get that new client, but they will anyhow get that new client to increase their business. So they're absolutely fine to do so, and they're not concerned if somewhere it is not feasible or suitable to anybody else. Thus, each style has a unique role to play and is useful depending on the situation. Many organizations prepare their management with appropriate conflict management skills and to handle and resolve workplace conflicts efficiently. So actually you have organizations who put in effort to prepare people at top management. You know that how they will handle any kind of conflict. Some organizations, when they give training, one aspect of training is also this, that what can be done if conflict escalates, if it goes out of control, how to resolve it. All that is discussed. We've completed this chapter. Okay, the last slide. Thus, if comfort is the nature of the self, why is it that humans get into conflict? This is something which we really need to all introspect, that everybody wants comfort, peace and ease. Then why do we get into conflict? We need to understand that there is enormous strength in peace. Lastly, it is best to address the situation by being honest and having open communication to resolve issues instead of brushing it aside. There's a lot of strength in peace. Peace can do wonders. Nowhere it is said that conflict is going to resolve issues. In fact, conflicts can take a different turn and create chaos. So at all points of time, we need to put in effort how to maintain and or how to bring about peace. Thank you.